Some of you who have good memories will know that 5 weeks ago, Jean read the whole of this chapter, and then Bev spoke on the death of Lazarus. And I knew Ruth would also pick pieces out of this passage, as she always does, very skillfully. So I had to really put my thinking cap on and decide how I would look at this I am saying. So the reading this morning is from John chapter 11, starting at verse 17. And before I read, I'm just going to do a short prayer. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you that your word is a living word. And I pray as I read it this morning that we will have eyes to see, but also ears to hear for your glory. Amen. On his arrival, that's Jesus, found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man. By this time, there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. May the Lord bless this reading from his word. Amen. I've subtitled this talk, "Are You Ready?" And you'll see as we go along why I've done that. And because of Bev's talk of just 5 weeks ago, I had to completely revamp what I was thinking. But that's a good thing as well. So Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." As you're aware, we've already had 4 of the famous "I am" sayings of Jesus Christ. And these have been aimed, if you were very alert, at the crowd and the Pharisees. From now on, Jesus is talking, in the next 3 I ams, Jesus is talking to his own, the people whom he knows and have been in close communication with, his fellow disciples. We read in Job chapter 14, "If a man die, shall he live again?" This is an old question, but it reoccurs down the years, and people still ask this question today. It is said that when Socrates, the Greek philosopher, drank the poison hemlock and lay down to die, he was asked by his friends, "Shall we live again?" And Socrates' reply was, "I hope so, but no one can know. Will there be life after death? Is there hope beyond the grave?" Well, thank God, that which the philosophers cannot fathom and the scientists explain, God has revealed in his word. For in response to Job's question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" Job gave this testimony, made famous in Handel's Messiah. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the later day upon the earth. And though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. If man dies, shall he live again? Is there hope beyond the grave?" Well, the answer is absolutely, because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. A Muslim named Philip in Uganda became a born-again Christian, and some of his friends asked him, "Why? Why have you made this decision?" He replied, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down a road and suddenly the road forked and you didn't know which way to go. But at that fork, you saw 2 men lying down. One was dead and the other was alive. Which one do you ask the way?" Here at this tomb was the Lord Jesus Christ, standing in the very presence of death. And what a claim he makes. For he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. John wrote this gospel to show his readers that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. John 20, verses 30 and 31. And one of the ways he did this was through seven I am sayings, which speak of Christ's absolute deity. You see, no mere man could have made such a claim to have mastery over death. And he prefaces this awesome claim with his emphatic I am. He was about to prove to Martha and Mary and the world that this was not religious rhetoric, but a statement of fact. I mean, can you picture this little home in Bethany, just 2 miles from Jerusalem? And it was in Bethany that the Lord Jesus, in effect, had a second home. It was here where he relaxed and retreated from the pressures and demands of ministry. Here was a home in which Christ felt comfortable and at ease, loved and accepted, honored and enjoyed and trusted. But into this home, death comes. My friends, if you have lost a loved one, if you had gone to a churchyard and had to lower the body of your loved one into the grave, you'll understand that sorrow, that hurt, the feeling of absolute helplessness that these two sisters must have felt. But then the Lord Jesus came and he confronted death. He challenged death. He conquered death. Indeed, he shows us in this statement and in this miracle what would happen to every person who truly believes on him, that just as Lazarus came forth from the dead, those who truly believe on Christ would have eternal life. And we would come forth from the dead as well. Now we find in this amazing claim, there are 4 simple points. And I've given each one a P. Problem, purpose, power, and promise. So number one, now when Christ uses the word dead, he is speaking of those who are dead physically. You see, we all have a common problem today. Unless Christ returns first, we are all going to die. We are, in effect, all terminally ill. We don't like to hear that. Every time we talk about death, we change the subject. It's like switching TV channels. Try it out the next time you are out socially and sitting around a table with a drink or a meal. Say, shall we talk about death? And see the reaction you will get. Here was an ordinary family living in an ordinary place, and death visits this lovely family who endeared themselves to the Lord Jesus. Lazarus was now dead, and as far as Mary and Martha were concerned, their world had fallen apart. My friends, death invades our homes and brings with it division, discouragement, disillusionment, and defeat. If you don't believe me, read the novels of Thomas Hardy. When someone dies, we are literally ripped apart. You see, death simply means separation. Physical death is the separation of the body from the soul. Spiritual death is the separation of the soul from God. Eternal death is the separation of both soul and body from God, in hell for all eternity. Do you know what makes death so unhappy? If you die without Christ, for then in hell you will lift up your eyes, being in torment. You'll probably remember the story in Luke chapter 16 of Lazarus and the beggar. They both die. The rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was a beggar. They both die. Lazarus goes to heaven. The rich man goes to hell. He is in torment. And he looks up and he sees Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he cries out, "I have five other brothers. Send someone to warn them." And the reply from Abraham was, "They have Moses and the prophets, and they still don't believe." And that applies to us. We not only have Moses and the prophets, we have the New Testament as well. And there are still people that sit on the fence. For death enters into the home of the saved and the unsaved alike. For it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I mean, what a home this was. A home where Christ was welcomed, loved, and honored. I wonder, is your home a Bethany home? Is it a home where God's Son is welcomed, God's word is honored, God's cause is loved, and God's people are received? A home where Christ will be present, powerful, and preeminent. Can you see this home? It was a home that loved Christ and that Christ loved. Yet into this home, death comes. Do you know it is later than you think? No wonder the Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." Martha and Mary probably thought that Lazarus would recover from his sickness and that everything would return to normal. But death had other ideas. Even though we know that death is coming, it still seems to take us all by surprise. My friends, will death sneak up on you and catch you unprepared? Will death find you unsaved, not ready for the great eternity? Do you remember that rich farmer in Luke 12? He'd probably been to the Newbury show. He had seen the new combine harvester and the new equipment and the new machinery. And he'd come home with great ideas. He said to his wife, "I will pull down my barns and build a greater barn. And there will I bestow all my grain and my goods." But death came and found him unprepared, and he was catapulted, launched out into the great eternity without Christ. What if death knocked on your door this month, on my door? What if the last enemy whispered into our ears, "The time has come for you to leave"? Would you be ready? Would you be prepared? Are you saved? Is your faith in Christ and in Christ alone? Dear Tom had packed and was ready, and he'd been ready for a while. For in the very stench of death, Christ says, "I am the resurrection and the life." My friends, do you see the uniqueness of Christ? I mean, no one else could utter these words. Not the disciples, the sisters of Lazarus, or the religious leaders. They could not speak like this. Only Jesus Christ could say, "I am the resurrection and the life." For here the Lord Jesus takes one of the distinctive names of God and applies it to himself. Why? Because he is God. He rose from the dead because he is the resurrection. Now, what did our Lord mean by these words? And so I come to my second heading, purpose. You see, he declares his purpose when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I mean that Christ is in the business of doing the same thing today that he did when he was on this earth. You'll know this verse in Hebrews 13. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. What did he do when he was on this earth? He changed things. He changed lives. Do you look at your life and say, what I really need is life, a new life. I'm not living, I am just existing. My life is just a treadmill over and over again. And I ask myself, is this all there is to life? My friends, the answer is no. For the Lord Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Do you know why there is maybe an emptiness in a void in your life? It's because you are not saved. You don't know Christ. My friends, life does not begin at 40, as so many celebrities would have us believe. It begins at Calvary. Christ not only came to add years to your life, he came to add life to your years. He came to give you life and life more abundant. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. When you trust Christ, you find a purpose, a meaning, a destiny, and you really begin to live, because the one who is the resurrection and the life is living in you and through you. Thirdly, his power. He said, I am the resurrection and life, not I was, not I can be, not I will be, but I am. And when he said I am, he spoke of the power. I want to tell you that there is only one power in the world that can raise the dead, that has ever raised the dead, and it is the power demonstrated in the resurrection of Jesus Christ when he came out of that tomb. So think of this power in relation to the Savior. The Lord Jesus raised others from the dead. There was Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, and of course Lazarus. And Christ proved his power over death by raising these people from the dead. But what about his own resurrection? If the story ended with his horrible death on Calvary, that would have been a tragedy. But up from the grave, he arose. My friends, the leaders of the so-called religions of this world are dead, but Jesus Christ is alive. And he is able to save completely those who have come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. And think of the power in relation to the sinner. For the Lord Jesus says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Have you discovered that you are dead spiritually? That you are dying physically, that without Christ you will die eternally. But Christ has the power to impact new life in you. Think of the power in relation to the saint. For these words in John chapter 11, 25 can be explained like this. He that believes in me, even though he has died and been laid in the grave, shall yet live. And be raised again through my power. Does that not refer to the resurrection of dead saints? And Christ immediately revealed the added truth that some believers would never die. Does that not refer to the rapture of living saints? How is this possible? The answer is found in Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Tell me, will you be there for that moment in the air? Listen, here is a person like no other. Can you tell me anyone like the Lord Jesus? Jesus Christ died that you might live, and Christ lives that you might never die. So we have seen the problem, the purpose, the power. Now we come to his promise, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It does not matter whether you are young or old, learned or illiterate, Catholic or Protestant, rich or poor, religious or rebellious. If you come to Christ, acknowledging your sin and turning from it, accept Christ by faith, you will live personally, spiritually, and eternally. Do you see what Christ says? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That is, trust Christ alone for your soul's salvation. For faith in Christ is what we must have to obtain the resurrection and the life which Jesus Christ gives. The Bible says, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You see, when you come to trust Christ, you'll discover that the job has already been done by him. On the cross, Christ cried, "It is finished. The work is done. The price is paid. The blood is shed. And all you have to do is appropriate the finished work of Christ for yourself." My friends, are you stumbling at the simplicity of the gospel? There's a note of certainty about it. "And whosoever believeth in me shall never, never die." That is, the Lord Jesus guarantees eternal life, life without end. There's a lovely story about a mother answering her young daughter's question about her daddy's death. The mother explains, "God sent for him, and someday he will send for you and me. Nobody knows just when." Like all young people, they think about it for a while, and then she came up with this comment: "Mummy, if we don't know for sure when God is going to send for us, we might not be ready. Do you think we should start packing now?" Was she not right? You see, not one of us knows when God is going to send for us. But we do know how to start packing. We do know how to be ready, because Jesus Christ is the answer. The question is, do you believe this? Are you ready? Do you believe that Jesus Christ has the power to give you eternal life and keep you from hell? This was aimed at Martha. But who is Christ speaking to this morning? Is it one of us? My friends, this is all that matters. There is hope beyond the grave, for Christ is the resurrection and the life. Receive him and heaven will be your home. Ignore him and hell will be your destiny. What will you do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? How will you answer? Will you be like Martha? Will you say, as Martha said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world"? My friends, do you believe this? More important, are you ready? I do hope so. Because here is the hope and comfort that the gospel gives to all who truly believe in Jesus. Just as the glory of God was displayed locally in the resurrection of Lazarus and supremely in the resurrection of Jesus, so it will be displayed and experienced ultimately in the resurrection of all who turn to him for their salvation.